Everyone was all for it. For a moment they thought we could afford the Caribbean, Barbados or somewhere, until Martin pointed out that the money we had wouldn't cover Matty's time in the care centre. I can't remember the last time I wept because I was happy. It was a strange feeling, but I couldn't stop myself.
"Effing hell," said Jess. "It's only a week in the poxy Canary Isles."
They let me sit in the window seat because they'd all been on planes before. And when you look out of an aeroplane window and see the world shrink, you can't help but think about the whole of your life, from the beginning until where you are now, and everyone you've ever known. And thinking about those things makes you feel grateful to God for providing them, and angry with him for not helping you to understand them better, and you end up in a terrible muddle and needing to talk to a priest. I decided I wouldn't sit in the window seat on the way back. The hotel was nice. We had our own bathrooms, and when I opened the shutters, the light poured into the room like a torrent of water through a burst dam and nearly knocked me over. The sea was quiet and blue and made tiny little murmuring noises. We ate in a seafront restaurant. I had fish, and the men ate squid and lobster, and Jess had a hamburger, and I drank 3 glasses of wine. It was the nicest meal I've ever had in my life.
The first evening wasn't too bad. I was recognised and ended up wearing JJ's baseball cap pulled down over my eyes throughout the evening, which depressed me. I abhor people who wear headgear during dinner. We ate in a tourist trap on the seafront, and the only reason I didn't complain was because of the look on Maureen's face. She was transported by her microwaved place and her warm white wine, and it seemed churlish to spoil it. Penny and I went away after I'd come out of prison to Mallorca. I thought it was going to be the best few days of my life because the worst 3 months were over. But it was on Mallorca that I realised that the worst might never be over. Criminals serve their time, but with all due respect to my friends in B-Wing, I was not a criminal. I was a television presenter who had made a mistake. Paradoxically, this meant that I would never serve my time. It was a class issue. You don't return to the middle class when you've been banged up. It's over, and you're out. You don't reclaim your seat behind the Rise and Shine desk. You don't tell your friends that you're once again available for dinner parties. You needn't bother telling your ex-wife you want to see your kids again. One night in a bar, we ran into a couple who ran their own production company and had, in happier times, offered us both work. They pretended they didn't know us. Later, the woman took Penny aside and explained that they were worried about their daughter, a particularly unprepossessing 14-year-old who is unlikely to lose her virginity for many years to come, and certainly not to me. It was all nonsense, of course. She was no more worried about my proximity to her daughter than my proximity to her purse. It was her way of telling me that I'd been cast out of the Garden of Islington. So the dinner that first night in Tenerife just made me gloomy. These weren't my people. They were people who would talk to me because I was in their boat, but it was a bad boat to be in, and it was going to break up and sink. It was a boat made for pootling around the lake in Regent's Park, and we were attempting to sail to fucking Tenerife in it. You'd have to be an idiot to think it was going to stay afloat.
I don't think everything the next day was my fault. I take some of the blame, but some people overreacted. What happened was we had breakfast together and agreed we'd go our separate ways until the evening. I wanted to buy some blow. I went into a couple of bars looking for people who might sell spliff, and in the second bar, I saw a girl who looked exactly like Jen. When she didn't recognise me, I thought she was messing about, until I noticed that her eyes weren't quite big enough and her hair was bleached. Anyway, this girl didn't like me staring at her, so I had a few words. She was English and unfortunately understood those words, so she gave me a mouthful back. After we'd been at it for a while, we were both asked to leave. I'd already had a couple of Bacardi breezers, and they made me quite aggressive, although she didn't take up my offer of a fight. And then, this always happens. Not Jen's brother, this bar, money, dope, some people from a place called Nantwich, freaked, puke, asleep on the beach, woken up, driven back to the hotel in a police car. I told the police that Martin and Maureen were my parents. Martin wasn't happy. I don't think there was any need for him to check out of our hotel, though. I felt terrible the next morning. That terrible feeling you get when you realise that you're stuck with who you are. You have no choice, and that's what makes you feel like killing yourself. I could do what I wanted every day of my life, and what I want to do, apparently, is to get walloped out of my head and pick fights. Telling me I can do anything I want is like pulling the plug out of the bath and then telling the water it can go anywhere it wants. Try it and see what happens.